The Federal Reserve could have a new top banking regulator. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Amy Scott, in for David Brancaccio. The Trump administration has selected a former Treasury official to be the Fed's vice chairman for bank supervision. Randall Quarles served under two Republican presidents and now runs a private investment firm in Salt Lake City. He faces confirmation in the Senate. Joseph Gagnon is a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics and joins me now. Tell us about this position.
Well, it's a pretty important position, and it's actually been vacant ever since the Dodd-Frank Act was passed. And it's an important position because it's probably the single most important government bureaucrat regulator of the financial system.
What does it involve?
We have several agencies that cooperate on regulating banks and other financial institutions, and they meet in something called the Financial Stability Oversight Council, FSOC. The Fed has a lot of hands-on day-to-day authority and sway in that council, and they regulate the most important institutions. So this would be an important position because basically this would be the Fed's point person for that group.
Now, this nominee, Randall Quarles, is thought of as friendly to industry, but he has experience both on Wall Street and in government. Do you think that balance could help him win confirmation by the Senate?
Yeah, I think he's a very conventional, non-controversial nominee. I mean, he's got a wide-ranging experience, both in the private sector as a lawyer, but he also worked at the Treasury Department as assistant secretary. So he's, you know, he certainly has a good background, and people who have worked with him, you know, have said that he is, you know, a reasonable person. And so I don't think he has, as far as I know, a lot of controversy or enemies against him.
All right. Joseph Gagnon, senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. Thank you.
You're welcome.
California Governor Jerry Brown has declared a state of emergency for two wildfires that have forced thousands of people to evacuate. Annual wildfires have become something of a given in California, taking up more resources to prevent and fight them. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more.
The governor's emergency declaration triggers access to special funding, says Janet Upton, deputy director of Cal Fire.
The emergency fund is basically something that Cal Fire has access to, and it's strictly to be used for those extraordinary costs of fighting the large damaging wildfires.
She says California's grown its wildfire emergency fund. The season is now 70 to 80 days longer than a decade ago, and people are building more houses in fire-prone areas. Michael Taylor is an economist at the University of Nevada, Reno. He says the risk is only going to increase.
I think that is not a question of having fire go away. It's just making these communities and also wildland ecosystems more resilient.
Better brush clearing can only go so far, though. He says the U.S. Forest Service isn't properly funded for this new reality.
Whether that means more full-time firefighting staff at the federal agencies, this is just a fact of life now in the West.
Cal Fire says last week alone, more than 600 fires burned in California, and we're just a few weeks into the official season. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Surveys show more than half of Americans are stressed about money, and now employers are beginning to take note. More companies are offering financial education programs to their workers. As LEU of WABE in Atlanta reports, the idea is that a less stressed out employee is a more productive one.
At a Waffle House south of Atlanta, Ashley Johnson stacks clean plates above a metal grill. The morning rush is over, but the shop's getting ready for lunch. Johnson's just finished a manager training program with Waffle House, and one of the things that came with it was coaching about personal finances.
Yeah, I was spending way too much money on food. I need to cook more.
As a new manager, her income runs in the $40,000 range. She's learned how to manage her own finances better, along with all the skills needed to run a Waffle House, like dealing with inventory and maintaining equipment. The financial coaching part guides employees on how to get rid of personal debt or save up for emergencies.
I realize that I go out a lot, and so that I need to cut back. Sometimes when you're just spending money, it's like, okay, you're not really realizing what you're spending your money on or how much money you're spending until you actually look at it on paper. I'm like, wow, I spent that much money?
Waffle House is among a growing number of companies, including Home Depot and Haverty's Furniture, that are offering what are called financial wellness programs for employees. The company pays for them, and it's free to the workers. Mikhail Greenstein-Weiss is a professor at Washington University in St. Louis. She says these programs have grown since the recession, as financial worries have carried over to the workplace.
Financial concerns reported to be the single greatest source of stress.
And while it's free for workers, she says companies are realizing that more focused and engaged employees might help the bottom line. But she says the verdict is still out on how well these programs are working. SunTrust Bank is selling these financial wellness products to about 40 companies. Brian Ford with SunTrust Bank says one of the goals of the program is to help all employees, including low-wage workers.
Regardless of income, people need financial literacy. That's as true on the low end as it is on the high end. There is an underserved population.
Waffle House says it's still testing out the program with manager trainees before rolling it out to all of its employees. In Atlanta, I'm Ellie Yu for Marketplace.
And Microsoft says it plans to use so-called TV white spaces to bring broadband internet to rural customers. The term refers to the unused broadcast frequencies between channels. In a blog post, Microsoft President Brad Smith says the company aims to reach 2 million rural customers in the next 5 years, a fraction of the estimated 23 million without broadband. In Washington, I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.